Episode 201.
You know, we're not driving cars anymore. We're driving computers. And people need to realize that, the dynamics of that, what needs to happen, and how I need to start thinking differently rather than I just have a bunch of repair guys in my shop. And I'm teaching them to learn to think differently.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, welcome, aftermarket professionals, to Remarkable Results Radio and to episode 201. Wow, that's such a great sound, 201. Wow, we've busted through the 200 episode watermark, and thanks. Hey, this is Carm Capriato here, changing the behavior of how aftermarket professionals get their information, training, insights, and strategies. You get two new episodes per week and a live town hall forum on Fridays at noon Eastern. Only way that happened is with your support. Now, I'll continue to look for the best stories, insights, and trends, and you continue to listen and learn. What a partnership. Today's episode 201 is with entrepreneur Margie Van Lierop. This episode is made possible through the sponsorship of Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and sign up for their new Garage Rewards Loyalty Program at their all-new website, fmmotorparts.com. You can find this week's show notes with Margie Van Lierop at remarkableresults.biz/E201. Hey, you've heard me say how impassioned I am in building a stronger aftermarket. Now, after being at Vision 2017 in Kansas City and meeting so many of my listeners, I know this is my calling. We are building such a powerful community of aftermarket professionals who are into maximum learning mode. I'm humbled and honored to know that the podcast is making a difference for people. It is all in the power of the story that each guest pays forward each week. Now, for extreme content, I can't stress the Town Hall Live more. Now, by the way, Town Hall Live is free to watch, as is all podcasts. The topics are good. However, the discussion, excellent. I can't stress to you enough. Go to my YouTube channel or the Town Hall page on the website and watch the replays. Watch them like a documentary and learn like a seminar. The content in each show has knowledge and insights you can use immediately. Now, if you're a perpetual student like me, the podcast and Town Halls are your secret Santa of learning. How's that for a twist? Hey, I love it when you contact with me on Facebook, like Michael Burmester, who I met at Vision 2017, Greg Ritter, and Jay Gonenen Fuchs. And to my new LinkedIn connections, Conrad Jobst, Leanne Best, Steve Beckwar, and Michael Risich. Connect with me with any ideas for a show or a guest request. My email, carm@remarkableresults.biz. Wow, could not believe how many owners and techs I met at Vision KC, as I was saying before, in March of 2017, that had the podcast app installed on their smartphone. Yes, it's free. And if you want instant access to every episode, just download the Remarkable Results Radio app and enjoy a whole new easy way to connect and learn with every episode. It's for iOS and Android and for any smart device. Now meet Margie Van Lierop from Beach City's Garage in Laguna Hills, California. Margie is an unlikely shop owner. See, she worked for corporate America at CBS or ABC affiliates, and she became a lifestyle magazine's owner. Now, friends were ready to sell their shop, so she bought, and that was 7 years ago. She has taken her entrepreneurial spirit and rebranded the business, moved to a new location, joined ASA, ASCCA, and Women in Auto Care. She found a business coach, and she's in a 20 group. Lots of great nuggets of business acumen and wisdom to include a discussion on a new beta program she's working with Bosch. It's a must listen, and don't miss the words of wisdom. Now here we go with Margie Van Lierop. A warm welcome to Margie Van Lierop from Beach City's Garage in Laguna Hills, California. Margie, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Carm. I appreciate your taking the time and the opportunity to be interviewed here with you.
No. The opportunity is all mine. I'm excited to have you on the show. There's so much to talk about. Here we have a individual who's not from the automotive industry, and yet you're a shop owner, Beach City's Garage. And so I'm curious person, and I want to know how this happened, where you got where you are. I'm just going to sit back and let you talk.
It was purely by accident and design. How's that? And an accident a lot of times turns into a design.
Okay.
I have a very different background, an entrepreneur background. My background is actually television and radio and magazines, the print side, everything from advertising to running stations. And then I left the corporate world and became an entrepreneur and owned a couple of advertising agencies. So what happened was I started a magazine called Beach Cities Style Magazine, and that's how the Beach Cities Garage came up and about.
So basically what you said is, listen, I have this great magazine. You had that magazine.
Correct.
And you bought an operation called Viking?
Correct. What happened was I sold my magazine in 2007, and then I decided I was going to retire, and I had some major personal issues. My husband got very sick, so I realized I had to get back into the world of work, and I had some friends that owned a garage called Viking Independent Inc. They were a Swedish couple, and they specialized in Saab and Volvos and had this garage since 1982. And they were getting ready to retire, and I realized I needed to get back to work. So we kind of made a deal where I'd start handling all their marketing. I knew it, I was handling their business. So by 2009, 2010, they realized that's it. They don't want the business anymore. So I made a proposal to them, said, you know what, let me take over the business. Let me run it for you. And then you guys can kind of make the profit. They said, no, we're going to close the business. We're done with it. So I thought, okay. So I made up a business plan, and I had to move the business, paid them a little money for it, move the business, had to rename it and called it Viking Auto Care, and ran it out of a 6,000 square foot building with six lifts. Had anywhere from 6 to 9 employees, depending on the day and the time. I inherited all of their employees, and I'm going, what the heck am I doing?
Oh, my.
I knew nothing about cars.
Oh, but, my. You
know, I was really surrounded by a good group of guys that know the car business, thank goodness. And, sadly, my husband passed away almost 2 years ago, and so I had to regroup my business a little bit. And I wanted to rename the business, and I wanted to move it too. So I moved it from 6,000 square feet to 2,500 square feet and thought, they don't make Saabs anymore. Volvo's a good brand, but I need to expand my brand. And Viking Auto Care is not a good millennial name. Right. And I'm a babe, you know. So I thought, you know, I'm going to go name it what I want. I'm at the beach. You know, we're in Laguna Beach, Dana Point, all these great little locations. So I renamed it Beach Cities Garage, downsized it, and now I have a great business model. And I focus on a lot of millennials now because, you know, you have to. The market's changing.
Yeah.
Even though most of them lease cars. Some of them still own cars. And now it's all a smooth running machine, if I may be so bold to say that.
You know, what you just described to me as the leap to become a shop owner is pure entrepreneurialism. I mean, you weren't a tech wanting to be a shop owner. You were a media person. You, as you said, you TV, radio, running stations. There's not a parallel to running or owning a shop. So describe to me that day that you said, you know what? I can do this.
I don't think I ever had an aha moment when it comes to I can do this. I put one foot in front of the other and just do it.
Okay.
I realize that it's like any business. Business is business. You know, I love all these groups that meet, you know, and because what's interesting is most people come from the tech world and decide they're going to own a shop. And left and right, I have people telling me, what are you doing running a shop? You know nothing about this. It would be like my opening up a hair salon or something and, you know, being a tech.
Yeah.
Well, that's a moot point to me. In fact, it was great because my aha moment actually came in the book, The E-Myth, if I may be so bold to bring that up, where it tells you, you know, being a tech sometimes makes it even more difficult to own a business. of the passion that you have, because you burn out from that passion a lot of times because of the business side of it. So I'm able to run the business the way a business needs to be run and manage it well and have great technicians that do what they do and love the passion of what they do. And at the same time, I can grow the business and go from there.
I want to make a mention to the E-Myth to you. I have just come back from a Caribbean holiday, and I took the Beyond the E-Myth with me. Michael Gerber just wrote it in November of 2016, and I couldn't put it down. Now, you being a fan of the E-Myth, and you credit it for your success that you have today, you've got to read Beyond the E-Myth. It's really going to open your eyes. It's Michael Gerber like you've never heard him before, and it'll give you a completely different way to take a look at what you are doing. And wow.
I will download it now.
And so anyone who's listening to the podcast, if you're an entrepreneur or want to become one, Beyond the E-Myth, I'm sure Michael Gerber will appreciate all that I've done for him. I'm talking with Jonathan Jacquelli, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. So, Jonathan, how does a service professional get the guru on the go van to their shop?
There's a couple ways. We do what we call cold calls, where we go around and just visit shops based on geographics. And there's also times where we team up with outside sales reps from other parts distributors and visit the shops on that basis.
So I love this. You pull into a shop on a cold call, they see the van, and they're probably excited to see you.
Yeah. I've had a couple shops where they've actually have already heard of the gurus via Facebook or social media. So when I show up, they've already been signed up and taken online classes, and now that the van's there, it's really easy to book a lunch and learn.
So you're really an extension of the Garage Guru training centers.
Yes, absolutely.
So you're all done with your lunch and learn. You spend 45 minutes to an hour. Probably that's all you can really get from a busy, busy shop. What are the technicians saying about your shop visit?
Oh, they love it. They thank me, you know, every second I'm walking out the door and just can't wait for me to come back again.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com.
So how was your learning curve? How did you establish what you needed to know and learn? Did you say to your team, hey, listen, this is going to be a blast. We got to work together. Did you go out to associations? Help me describe the process.
The process. It was trial by fire. For me, it was because when I opened up the shop, I had to move the shop just because of some dynamics that were going on. And when the original owners closed the shop, I reopened the shop in a different location with a complete build out and everything within 32 days, not knowing what the heck I was doing, other than having been in their shop for 2 years, watching their processes and how they did things.
Okay.
And sadly, what I found out was that a lot of the processes that they had weren't working for them anymore. Mm-hmm. They were making money back in the 90s because the money was there, not because of their good processes that were in place. So that was a real learning curve for me. I looked at some things. I looked at different organizations. I joined an organization or two, which were dynamite at the beginning. So I stayed with them. I'm now a member of the Women in Auto Care.
Love excellent, that group. Excellent wonderful, group. Wonderful did you go to the women. Did you go to the Anaheim program?
In Anaheim, I did. Fabulous, fabulous group, and I'll be joining them again in Nashville upcoming this summer. And I'm a member of ASA, and you know, they're a great organization. You know, they've totally, you know, bought it together as far as that goes, and also NASTAF. So, even though I'm not actively with them, I listen to everything that they have. Last night I went to a 20 group and we learned a little more about, you know, the new tire pressure little gauges that we have.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
I would call it. So, yeah. So I'm learning a little bit so that I can't be, you know, too naive about what we do.
Right.
But overall, working with other shop owners, having that access to dealing with them, and then having a great team of people, that's really what makes a difference for me.
So the The 20 group, Margie, how often are you reaching out to that group you're in?
Well, that is a fairly new group for me.
Okay.
This is my third meeting with them, although I've known the team for many years. And it's actually everyone's third meeting because we just decided to do this group. So we have our own little private Facebook, so that helps a lot.
Ah.
But the biggest thing I did for myself, if I may be so bold, is to say that I joined Pair Shop Coach, and Bill Hill is my coach. And great group of guys there. Great group. Joined them in November of last year.
What are you getting out of your coaching group?
That I'm doing a lot of things right, in spite of myself.
Okay. Well, that's a big revelation.
Yeah, it is. It is. Because, you know, sometimes you talk to people and you've got people around you that make you doubt yourself, you know. So those people you get out of your life. So I did that. And I'm doing a lot of things right. I just need to do more of it. And that's really good marketing, because everything is changing as far as the auto world goes, you know, with all the telematics and, you know, high-tech cars. I mean, you know, we're not driving cars anymore. We're driving computers. And people need to realize that, and the dynamics of that, what needs to happen, and how I need to start thinking differently rather than I just have a bunch of repair guys in my shop. And I'm teaching them to learn to think differently. We're taking a lot more classes. I'm proud to say we're taking care. We just changed some wonderful batteries, big, you know, the hybrid batteries. We changed
sure.
a couple of those the past couple of weeks. So I'm really proud of my guys that they're really stepping up to the plate. You know, I've also updated all my scan tools, you know, so that I can start taking care of these vehicles. So that's a big step too. You have to think that way, or we're going to be obsolete, because, you know, dealers are really coming after our business. They realize the dynamics of the loss of auto repair, and they need to keep that car from start to finish. So we need to keep our share of the market. And I think a lot of shops need to start unifying. And I'm not talking, you know, we need to unify in the sense that we need to start working together as a group, i.e. the 20 group, so that we can stay in business.
So paying it forward with your team and all that you're learning and all that you're sharing, your message is we have to work. Obviously, you just said it. We have to work together. Do you see this happening in your area of influence?
I do. There's always those shops that are going to be the independent little shops and do their own thing and try to undercut you and et cetera. But eventually I find that a lot of those cars that go to those shops come to me or someone as qualified as my shop and do it correctly. And you're going to pay more at my shop, just like you're going to pay more at other shops, you know, and because they've got to understand that cars are computers now. It's not you put the spark plug in like I did to my 1971 Fiat, which I was proud I could do, and put the little spacer in. So I do know a little bit about cars. That doesn't work anymore. That doesn't happen anymore.
Sure.
And so I see it happening. I you know, we have a good network of people locally that we speak with as far as our repair guys go. We share tools with each other. We share information. So yes, I think people understand that they need to start banding together to stay in business and to stay current.
Smart stuff I'm hearing from you. Now, besides Saab and Volvo, what else have you added to the brand, if you will, Beach Cities, that has expanded your opportunities?
Great question. Although most of my business is still Saab and Volvo, because we're known for our Saab technicians. In fact, my guys, Andy's been with us. He actually started with the old shop, and he is Swedish and was trained in Saab and Volvo. So he's still the old guru and the expert, although he doesn't have his hands on cars as much, but he advises a lot. But I've also picked up Audi and Volkswagen. I've got Roland, who was trained in Audi, thank goodness. And then, of course, I do everything really but diesel, Jaguar, and Land Rover. So I've got the capability to pretty much do everything now. A unique thing that I'd like to share with you is that, you know, I am a Bosch dealer, and Bosch has a new program called Sweetworks, and I'm one of their flagship garages that's basically started the program. And what they do is they provide a concierge service here in Orange County, and they want to make this a worldwide project. So they've got quite a bit of money invested in the program. So what happens is that there's an app for that. It's called SweetWorks app. And the millennials or whoever, in fact, I'm even finding that we're getting people our age coming in where they say they're having problems with their brakes or they need a tune-up or an oil change. And SweetWorks picks up the car, drives the car to my shop and four or five other shops now. And then I make the repairs on the vehicle, make recommendations also on, you know, do a safety check and a maintenance check and make recommendations. And then SweetWorks sells it or not. And then once the repairs are made and the maintenance is done on it, then the vehicle gets returned through SweetWorks. And it's working very well. I mean, it's added quite a bit to my business model. So not that I want that to be the largest part of my business, but it's definitely something that is working.
Can you share with me what it costs you to be part of that program?
It costs me nothing other than getting a paycheck from them every week.
And that paycheck is based on your labor rate and everything that goes on at your shop?
Yes, correct. Yes.
So they're really being the conduit to say, hey, listen, there's a lot of opportunity out there. We can funnel it through a single source.
Yes.
And how is it that you get chosen? Is it depending on how close that opportunity is to your shop?
Well, it's a combination of things because they're doing it right now just in Orange County. I think I'm a lot more cooperative maybe than a lot of other shops are. I speak up more. I deal with them directly as far as, you know, the team goes, letting them know what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. And, you know, we work with the bar, making sure that everything is proper. You know, we get wet signatures, you know, because a lot of that, I don't think they quite knew what to do there, although they, you know, they've got their own ARD license and everything. I think it's just a valuable partnership that we've created. And I think that's why I get a lot of the business. I was afraid that, you know, in the auto body work, okay, you know, insurance companies came in and, you know, if I upset some people, sorry, but in the auto body work, you know, the insurance companies came in and they started setting the rates, you know, this is how much you can charge an hour, this is what you can do, this is how much you can charge for parts. And that's one thing I did not want to have happen if I was going to do business with this company. They have to understand that there's different rates for different things and they can't just set rates per, you know, the providers of these services, whether it's All Data or Mitchell. And so I think that's really awakened them too. And so because of that, I think that they're being a little more open to working.
So Margie, how does SweetWorks set the rate and basically knows what you're going to charge for the job?
Good question. They start with All Data and they use that as a basis of what the labor rate's going to be. And because they're Bosch, they know what a lot of their own pricing is. We're getting to that point now where we'll start using, you know, just Bosch products if mm-hmm. at all possible. But they have us right now because they're getting the name out, they are doing promotional pricing, you know, oil changes, et cetera. I still get paid what I need to be paid to make it work for me. But when the car is there and say it needs brakes, then what we do is we price it out, what the labor is going to be, how much time it needs, what the brake pricing is going to be. I provide either just a generic pricing for a generic or unless they want a dealer pricing, you know, as far as OE pricing, I should say. So in other words, a premium pricing or a generic pricing are the two things that I offer. And then they sell it from there.
Margie, does the car owner know that it's Beach City's Garage that's repairing their car?
Typically not, but that's a great question because yesterday we had a vehicle in there and this vehicle wanted an oil change. Well, as soon as you put the oil in, it came in with 2 ounces of oil in it and I called SweetWorks and I said, I can't work on this car. I don't want to touch it. You know, I can't believe it's here, but it is. But they spoke with the owner of the vehicle and they explained what we found and they said where the car is at. And the owner called us and we spoke with the owner and we've got the job. So there's total transparency or I would not want to do business with them.
With the trends of digital vehicle inspections becoming one of the most important, if you will, tactics to growth strategy in your business for maintenance and communicating with your customer with pictures and text. This almost seems to defy that level of intimacy where you're going through, if you will, a clearinghouse. How do you deal with that?
It's been a challenge, and I think that's the biggest challenge because, you know, as you know, being an independent auto repair shop, biggest thing that we have is that contact with that customer. And that's the challenge that we have now with Sweetworks in creating that intimacy. So that it is a challenge, period. What's interesting is the young lady that is the service advisor at Sweetworks, I actually got her that job, and that's her biggest challenge, is being able to talk with that particular owner and explaining to them what needs to be done, because everything is done through the app. You know, the app says, I need an oil change, or I need my brakes done. Well, how do you know you really need your brakes done? So that is the challenge. And I think that's where where I think I'm having the most fun with Sweetworks in overcoming that challenge. And we'll see what happens.
I know we're going to have a show, and maybe by the time this episode releases, we may have that show. It's a Town Hall Live, my forum that we do every Friday at noon Eastern. And one of the subjects coming up here in the next 2 or 3 weeks is going to be on concierge service. And it's the concierge service that single shop owners are providing, their own pickup and if you will, that white glove treatment. I'm excited to have that seminar, that forum, because I think there's so much discussion that needs to happen, because customer service, if you will, you were talking about the processes from the company that you bought and that they were kind of stodgy and old and they quite weren't working. And I wrote down the words process improvements. Not maybe process change, but process improvements. Where does customer service go someday? How does customer service get improved to the point where it is a differentiation? And you mentioned concierge, and that's one of the things that I continue to think about, where it could set shop owners above the rest. Now, Bosch, what a great idea that Bosch has, but would you ever think that concierge service needs to actually happen at your level?
Oh, I do it every day. In fact, this morning, while you and I are speaking, 3 cars are being picked up right now from places of business around my neighborhood. Yesterday, for example, I'm part of the Auto Value Group, and I had someone from Ohio call me saying that his wife's Jaguar, the lady's working here now, and her Jaguar broke down, and they thought it might be one of the parts that they'd replaced. This car had been in storage quite a while because, you know, it snows. It was a convertible, and so that car only gets driven so much. But now she's in California, and guess what? You put on miles in California.
Yeah.
So she came in with the car, and we had to order the parts. She needed the car. She drove the car away last night, and this morning we were going to her office to pick up the vehicle so we can make all the repairs. I like it when people come into my shop first. Once we've got that contact, that relationship, I've checked under the hood, made sure that they know who we are, then I always pick up and drop off cars. I probably do that 10, 15 times a week minimum. I mean, you have to provide that today. You know, I always tell people, I don't want you to have to think about your car. I just want you to get in, start it, go where you need to go, enjoy the drive, and I'll take care of the rest.
That seems to me that very assured feeling that the consumer has, that trust integrity thing. You know, drop your keys, don't worry about a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's the strategy of your customer service and retention.
Correct. I do it from beginning to end, whether it's tires, you know, even though I don't provide tires, but I know where to go to get tires,
yeah.
You know, whether it's alignments, smogs, you know, whatever it is, you know, we provide the service, you know, at least drive the vehicle for them and get everything done for them.
One-stop shop. Now,
yes,
we talked average training hours per year, you tell me, is 40 hours per technician.
Technician, yes.
Well, you know, that seems to be the average, what I hear. Are you paying for it? Where are they getting their training? Give me an idea of what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I do pay for it. I think that's my responsibility, but it's all their responsibility to get the A in certification and stay for the entire course and bring back that good grade. And they get paid based on the grade they bring back. That's how I do it. So there is some kind of a motive and incentive. And the guys love it because they get a free meal or a weekend out of it sometimes, depending on where it is. But Warren provides a lot of training. Warren Distributing, they provide a lot of training. Of course, WorldPack does their training. So that's where I get a lot of the training that I do as far as that goes. So I reach out. And in fact, last night our 20 group was talking about that too, providing some training there at the facilities that we're at.
Repairs and maintenance. When I reached out to you, you said that you were doing 60% maintenance.
Yes.
That's a huge number.
Yes.
How do you account for that?
Yes. Well, number one, that percentage has risen obviously because of SweetWorks on my books. Okay. So that might be a little bit of
okay.
Inflated number, but that's because of SweetWorks being in there. But I like to have my cars in there 3 or 4 times a year so I can maintain them. It's not just one customer. The customer has 3 or 4 cars because of children, et cetera, you know, relatives, whoever. So I like to maintain all the vehicles within the family units.
Are you setting advanced appointments?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Even with maintenance, you know, the interesting little cut that I've learned from doing repairs, for example. Say they can't do all the repairs at one time, or we've decided to space the repairs. About 4 paychecks is what my rule of thumb is. So every 2 weeks or so, about every 8 weeks, I make sure that I touch them. You know, remember we said that you might need new brakes, or you need brakes now, or whatever the repair might be. We reach out to them. And I still do it the old snail mail way. I always still reach out with postcards, handwritten postcards. My CSR person does all of that. Email, and I text if I'm allowed to text them. I text them as well. And then, of course, the old-fashioned phone call as well.
I love it. Every 4 paychecks. What a cool KPI.
Yes. Yep.
Interesting. Yep. You're a marketer. We talked about that at the beginning of the episode. What are you doing to reach out in social media to gain new customers?
Well, I had a little bit of a setback, and I'm going to be real direct with you on that. I hired a company, and sadly, I won't name that company, although I'd love to, but they really messed some things up for me. So I had to totally revamp it. So it's been an interesting learning curve for me because I had to totally redo my website. I hired a company, or I reached out, and I'm doing it myself, a company called Yext, Y-E-X-T, so I can see exactly where all of my social media contact situations are. And boy, I had to clean all of that up. Then I just acquired a new company, and I'm pretty pleased with them at this point. I've only had them for the past month. I use 2 companies, actually, but one of them is called Podium. And when the customer leaves, I ask them if I can ask them for a review. And it's very simple, by just putting their phone number into an app. There's an app for everything in today's world. And 9 times out of 10, they say yes. And so they then get a little ding on their cell phone, and it gives them the opportunity to go to Google to review me, Google Plus, or to Yelp to review me, or to Yellow Pages. So whatever they don't have, it goes to the next, to the next, to the next, so that somehow they're able to leave me a review. And I'm pretty pleased with it so far. I think they're fairly new to the market, to at least the automotive world, and I'm pleased with it. I'll let you know in a couple of months how I feel about it. And then I still have my traditional SureCritic. I bought my software, my shop software last year, but I still use SureCritic. The thing with SureCritic, they do a great job. They're awesome. I love them. The only setback is that their reviews only land on my website, and I need better coverage. So I do a lot of blogging now. So okay. I actively have Facebook, and so that helps as well. So I try to touch all the bases.
So if someone was living in Laguna Hills and they typed in Laguna Hills Auto Repair, would your shop come up first?
Not yet, but it will. It should be, but it will. Again, all right. I had a little bit of a setback.
I get it. Okay. Sore
now,
subject.
If they type in, yeah, very sore. But if they put in Saab or Volvo, I come right.
Got it. Anything holding you back right now, Margie?
No, I would say if anything, it would be me holding myself back. I mean, as far as, because there's only one of me, you know. Do you remember the movie Multiplicity with Michael Keaton?
Yes.
Yeah. I wish I could do that so I could get a lot more done.
Wow. Me too. Me too. What wakes you up from a dead sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning?
I forgot to put that appointment on the books.
Okay. It's a revenue thing.
It's a revenue thing.
Is it ever too late to learn?
Heavens no. Kidding, I learn every day. No, if it's too late to learn, then you shouldn't be here anymore, right? I mean, that's what keeps you on the edge. That's what keeps you motivated and alive and fun. You have to have fun in life.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you're preaching to the choir right there. Hey, any special secret that you could share to an entrepreneur about, you know, just running a successful business?
Put one foot in front of the other. Don't wish you coulda, shoulda, woulda, because you did it already.
I love it.
And learn from it.
Do you have a way to keep your focus? Do you live in a to-do list environment?
Sadly, I do. I have that to-do list every day. In fact,
how long? Oh my God! Look at that. How long? How long is that? I mean, is it like weeks worth of things you got to do?
It's usually what I do is I, you know, well, I have my business plan. I live religiously by my business plan, because if you don't, you know, it's a living document. You've got to change that plan every month, if not every week.
Really?
And I've got my short term, my long term. Am I reaching my goals? I mean, I think that's one of the big things that they preach to all of us, right? If you're going to hit $1 million this year, how are you going to get there? 4,000 a week, 4,000 a day, excuse me. You know, I mean, how are you going to get there? How many cars do you need? I mean, it's just the basics. It's the mantra of every business owner, I would say, you know, every smart business owner, which I'm sure is listening to this podcast.
Excellent. Now, you say to change your plan, your strategic ideas, and you got short-term and long-term goals. You think that's healthy to constantly be looking to reevaluate it?
Absolutely. You have to. You know, I've been in companies where the business plan is the doorstop. You know, have you picked it up lately? Well, let me pick it up, and, you know, but the door will close. You can't do that. You've got to live by that business plan. Because it changes all the time. You've got to be flexible. You've got to allow it to change. You get frustrated. That's when you get stressed out, is if your plan doesn't work, because most plans don't work. You know, you can have that, what you want, that vision, but every day something changes. The dynamics of either you lose a person, something happens with a car, something happens to you personally in life. Whatever happens, you've got to be flexible.
Be flexible. When I hear you say that, I think of the words pay attention.
Yes.
And it's almost like you've got your tentacles as an octopus out there in all areas that as an entrepreneur you have to pay attention to, and all of those bring you feedback. So what you're really saying is, when something, you know, bing to the top, it pings, you say, hey, we may have to move in that direction, we may have to pivot. And that's what you're really saying, be nimble.
Yes. Yep, absolutely. Because if you're not proactive, you can't be reactive. You've got to think about it. Is this the right move to make? And you have to be proactive, because otherwise it will control you. And you're the one that has to stay in control and manage it well if you want to get to your goals.
I've had a blast. This was fun.
Thank you.
I learned a lot.
Yes,
we absolutely, we will. I want you to come back. We'll do something. We'll take another subject. And now that we know who Margie Van Lierop is, now we can, you know, dig in a little deeper. So any great words to live by, any great wisdom that you live by, you'd love to share?
I have my little 7 little rules that I live by. Stop thinking so much. It's all right not to know all the answers.
And is that the one you're going to give us? That's one.
That's
all right.
The one I'm going to give you. That's the one I'm going to give
because
you today.
Because I saw you have that thing on, what is it, on your phone? What?
It's on my phone. It's my 7 rules of life.
I saw that.
Yeah, it's make peace with your past so it won't disturb your future. Number 2, what other people think of you is none of your business. The only person in charge of your happiness is you. Don't compare your life to others. Comparison is the thief of joy. Time heals almost everything. Just give it time. stop thinking so much. It's all right not to know all the answers. And smile. You don't own all the problems in the world.
Wow. So if anyone stops to think about those, it could really change their life.
Yes.
Wow. Margie Van Lierop, Beach City's Garage, Laguna Hills, California. Thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure, and thank you, Carmen.
Hey, thank you, Margie Van Lierop, for your entrepreneur story and for paying it forward. Hey, there's a lot going on in your world for all the right reasons. Now, for more background on Margie, go to her show notes page on the Remarkable Results Radio website at remarkableresults.biz/E201. And thank you for joining us. Any questions or comments, I'd love to hear from you. Email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz or head over to the contact page on the website. Hey, listen, I'm a person who links people that need and want knowledge in a way that is easy to digest in their day-to-day life. And you know, that's why you're here. Share this content-rich resource with your friend. Provide me the ultimate in networking. Tell a friend about the podcast. Hey, there's a lot of bandwidth to go around, and it's so easy to do. Email the episode link, share my Facebook page, Twitter account, or LinkedIn connections. The richness grows because you help ripple the water. Thanks. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.